podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
JF Stretford Paddock, this is The Brew. Joining me is Abdullah. How are you doing, Abdullah?
I'm good, man, yeah. Just nice result. Midweek result, I'd say result, because it was a bunch of kids out on the pitch and we managed to not get battered. So it was a fun time this week again, watching United.
Managing not to get battered is the levels season. That we're at. Also joining us shortly will be Stephen Howson. He's en route, or en route, as they say. So we'll be hearing from him. Get involved in the chat, get involved in the comments. There's loads to talk about, including Ralf Rangnick. Obviously, he's given his presser ahead of the trip to Carroll Road tomorrow. So we'll have an update on what he had to say about potential transfers, team news, all that jazz. Also, Anthony Martial, one of your favourites. He's looks like he's off, doesn't it? Eh?
It does. Yeah. It's quite a sad ending, isn't it, to things with Tony? Because it was almost like he joined, he had that unbelievable moment against Liverpool. What a way to start your career at Man United. Probably couldn't pick a better way, in it.
Couldn't pick a better. I think as debuts go, that was one of the best.
It was unreal. I think Old Trafford, like, I was there that day, like, just erupted.
It was perfect. Great goal.
Great goal as well.
Youngster, didn't know a lot about him. He's come in, he scored that great goal. He's a teenager, you think this kid could.
A lot of money, like, again, a lot of question marks. And it's annoying, innit? Because he did have, like, those periods where you think, this is it, we're seeing more of the Anthony Martial we want. I think post that lockdown, you really start seeing a real nine. I think the fall off was really around maybe the Sevilla game in that same period, like towards the end of that season. Away from home, missed a load of chances. In the Copenhagen game as well, played well, but missed a load of chances. And then that was sort of the last best bits of Martial we've seen.
Yeah, his confidence seems to fall off a cliff, didn't it, really? And I think that the people don't give, probably the wrong way to term it, but don't give him enough leeway with his confidence. People just seem to think he's lazy or he's arrogant or he can't be bothered. But I do genuinely think he's got a confidence problem. And I think if you look at some of the games last season, I think of Burnley away, the ball drops to him, 1-0 up, Yeah. Stick your foot through that. Do you know what I mean? Or control, you know, but he does this sort of, or control it and go around the keeper, but he does this sort of tame shot, just like almost a player just trying to keep it on target and not. And it, you know, it's. I think Nick Pope, it was almost straight at him, was it? Nick Pope, I can't remember.
People undermine how, I think people undermine really how, you know, how important the mental side of the game is, I think. And we see that with a lot of the strikers these days. Look at Timo Werner.
Yeah.
Chelsea gets a lot of chances. A player I personally rate to a certain extent, because I'm always going to rate a player that will get those chances and make the movements. But man, in front of goal, like, he's really had a tough time with it. And the same thing again with Martial last season, when you think, oh, these are the ones he bags, he's usually a cool finisher.
Yeah.
He's lost that touch for him. And it's unfortunate at the end. And it's been, but it is what it is. You know, you've got the likes of Greenwood coming through in the current time, the players that are going to win you games now, your Cavani's, your Ronaldo's. Marcus Rashford's currently playing through the middle as well for Ralf Rangnick. So,
yeah, I mean, he's got at least three or four minimum in front of him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, with Sancho, who can play on that. If you're going to say, for example, I mean, Martial, you can even play on the left and maybe down the middle, but you've got Cavani, Ronaldo, Greenwood, who can all do that. Marcus can do that, either, well, mainly down the middle for Cavani and Ronaldo, obviously, but Marcus can play on the left and so can Sancho. Even Greenwood can.
Yeah.
And I just feel like when you look as well, you're throwing Anthony Elanga into that mix, who. Yeah. I know he didn't set the world alight the other night, but he's a very good player.
Got a lot of energy.
Got a lot of energy. Only going to get better.
Actually, it's a good point you speak about Elanga, because I think a problem with this Manchester United team is a lot of the players want the ball.
Yep.
A lot of the players want to get on the ball. And I think he offers that difference is he wants to get in behind defences. He wants to offer that off the ball. And Marcus Rashford can do a bit of both, but it feels like Marcus is the only option we've currently got like that. And that's where Elanga might find himself in the team.
There was always this debate, wasn't there, with Marcus and Anthony Martial. It's like, oh, you know, it seemed to almost get divisive at times. And I think there's one person who was always good for a soundbite and an opinion on it is our very own Mr. Stephen Howson. Here he is, brew in hand. How are we doing, brother?
I'm all right.
Yeah, good. That's enough from you, right? Back to Abdullah. No, obviously, just before we came on here, the sort of news came out that Anthony Martial, his future lies elsewhere. I mean, is it just a case of, right, all right,
5-1, James, shocked.
Yeah, shocked and disappointed.
Well, I won't say that.
Right, shocked.
I'm not fucking shocked, if I'm being. No, I'm not surprised, actually. Yeah. When you bring in a manager that presses, I'm sure Anthony Martial was the first person you go, he's going to have a fucking right good time, isn't he? Not really. at all, actually.
How do you think the conversation went down? Do you think it was Rangnick saying to him, I want you to do this, and him going, or do you think it was Rangnick looking at him and going, Tony can have a word? It's not, you're not for me.
I don't reckon it was quite as brutal as when Fellaini walked in when Solskjaer was first appointed. And he walked in and went, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I mean, it was proper loud, wasn't it, with Fellaini? Because like, people forget, Fellaini under Jose had been one of his main men. And under
Ollie, well, I think he brought him on the team sheet first and was like, right, goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was. It was. And then Ollie had none of it. I know there's loads of comments, and I will get in chat, and I will get into that in a minute. And welcome to the new members as well. I'll get into all that. I just want to get Steve's take on the Martial news, because that's the sort of breaking news that Martial, I mean, like Steve said, it's not the most shocking stories that are played that we've just been discussing.
What's Ralph's whole modus operandi? First and second contract players. Tony's been here, what, 6 years?
2015, yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
I think they're like, I can see Pogba in the thumbnail here. Not sure what that's about. But
there is a little bit of an update on Paul Pogba.
Is it? He's done another U-turn. More U-turns than fucking Usher in at a minute.
Nice. I think the latest is, and this is breaking, and this is seminal, he's been on the phone to Ralph. They've had a phone call. I don't know if it's a Zoom or just a normal phone call or FaceTime, but he's spoken to the manager of Manchester United, which is, you know, it's good to know, isn't it? That your most expensive player ever speaking to the manager.
Why is this fucking news?
Don't know. Don't ask me, but it is. That's the update. And apparently he's coming back to do some training. He's coming back from Dubai
to do
a bit of training. I'll get into the members in the comments and then we'll get back to it. Miles Doran, welcome to the first team. Thanks for your support. Matthew Bestwick, welcome to the first team. Seth Corner, welcome to the academy. Thanks for your support as well. And also John Olsen, welcome to the first team. John Olsen asked a question. I want the stream to start now. It's not a question, it's a comment. But at least it's only 45 minutes left. Thank you. Ryan Belmont says, last 18 months, Tony hasn't kicked on. Have to move him on and free up space for Elanga and some of the younger lads. I think his confidence is gone. And also an academy member there, Ryan. Thanks for your support.
Is he even in contention with Elanga? It feels like he's more in contention with Greenwood, really. And losing that contention. Mm.
What, you mean down the middle or...?
Well, he just as a shirt.
All right, okay, I'm with you. Sorry, yeah. So you mean like as if you're going to play your second string or if you're going to play bring on a sub or you're going to have rotate a little bit.
Let's have it right. We just played a second string team and he weren't in it.
No. And I don't even think, you know, I don't
is
know.
Is he injured?
He's carrying enough, maybe.
The fact that no one even knows.
I mean, it does feel like, for me, the Everton game felt like...
What's he doing down there?
Just professional. Ignore it, right? That's how we roll. Seamless.
No, not on a Friday, Jay. Yeah, not right, on a Friday tea time.
Who am I trying to kid? Who am I talking to?
He's still crawling.
It's just what he does. Friday, he has his sweets and he crawls about the office in the studio and we just leave him to it. It felt like Everton, when he got that start and when the internet melted, was his last chance really to so. And I know he scored, but it felt like he needed to be like, look, I'm still about.
I remember talking to people after this and I was like, I thought it was shit. And everyone was like, but he scored.
Yeah.
That's such the Sun's level of analysis.
Yeah.
Who scored? Give him an 8.
Yeah, it didn't seem to change anything, did it, for his United time? It wasn't like Ollie sort of went, right, well, he's in the team now because obviously we're up against it and he, you know, Marcus came back from his operation. Then you get a new manager in who, as you've said, his modus operandi is a press, is someone who, you know, who likes to see his players, you know, getting at the defenders. That's not really what Martial's about.
If you're looking for a proactive team, Tony's not on anyone's list for anything like that. You know, there's a lot of good attributes for him as a footballer. He's got one of the best close quick dribbles I've seen. Like the ball's velcro to him when he gets going at high speed. He's got a seriously good dribble and his finishing was always a very high level finishing.
Yeah,
but this is the problem with a lot of people's analysis of football, is they just look at what that person does on the football pitch when they're in possession, those 3 minutes out of the 90 that they might have the ball at their feet.
Yeah.
Not realising it's 87 minutes where there's other shit you got to do.
Well, this is it. And I think, you know, you've spoken about it loads of times, you have as well, that this was a massive game changer, wasn't it, for a lot of players when Ralph Rangnick comes in. This isn't more of the same. This isn't Mickey Phelan taking over from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or Michael Carrick. You think it's just a different figurehead, but it's going to be this. It's not. This was something, and if you've not done, go and check out Steve's videos on this. He's done a load of videos on Ralph Rangnick, on his style. Great video with Marim as well. Obviously, go and check out Pure Ball. Abdul has done it as well for anyone who wants to sort of do a little bit more of a deep dive into the tactical changes. But there are changes, and you need players that are going to be able to implement them changes. And it doesn't take a football genius to look at Martial and go, that's someone who's going to struggle with this new style, this new system, this new manager. And also, if you're coming in, you're Ralf Rangnick, and you're going, right, who have I got? I've got Marcus, all right. What, just looking at him, yeah, okay. What's his numbers like? Yeah. If you're looking at Martial, question marks about him, is he your type player? And then you look at his numbers as well, and they're not going to back him up on any front, are they? Because, okay, two seasons ago, very good. Last season, 4 Premier League goals. It's a hard sell in it for a manager to think, yeah, this is a guy I can hang my hat on, as Roy Keane would say.
Yeah, it's especially if you're going off the last period, innit, with Martial. He's not really shown anything since that 2018. We spoke about the Europa semi-final. It's against Sevilla, where he missed a load of chances. So he's not really stood out since then. It's been difficult.
And a PSG game.
Yeah. I mean, he has a sort of... And I always feel like he's...
Wouldn't have been in the Europa to win it.
Yeah.
If he hadn't...
This is weird, because last season, the PSG game, the Leeds game, the City game, I know he got man of the match at the Etihad, but you've just said it yesterday, and I agree with you. His finishing was fantastic. It was. Let's not rewrite history. For 4 years, his finishing was great.
If you wanted to put any player in that
scoring in about 4 shots, which is elite.
Yeah, exactly.
He about 1 in 4 shots, yeah, which is top level elite.
That stands up to other strikers, doesn't it? The top level.
No, he usually sits quite above a lot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So that's like, you're up there with them.
1 in 4 is one of the best in the league.
Right, okay.
Come back and you just score off like 1 or 2 chances.
Yeah, average, you're looking at 1 in 6, 1 in 7.
And that, so if you're 1 in 4, you're like very, very top of the tree in terms of your finishing.
I mean, like Ronaldo and Messi, like 1 in 10. Right. Or have been at times in their career. I don't know what they'd be right now.
But so there you go. So it's not like the kid couldn't finish. But then you had this issue where last season he just wasn't. And he was getting chances, you know, big chances in big games. And for me, I just felt like it was a confident thing. I don't think he's getting the chance and thinking, I can't be bothered to put that ball in the net. That doesn't make any sense. I think he's feeling it. I think he's feeling the pressure.
I think his body's changed a lot. He just... Maybe he's had these growing problems as well. That he supposedly keeps having surgery, but... I don't understand.
Sometimes
that.
It's one of them. You just got to let Johnny Evans. I mean, Mac likes to rewrite history with Johnny Evans a little
Don't. If Easy gets in the comments now, this is going to end, because I've had this conversation with him.
Johnny Evans needed to
physically
go when he
went, on Twitter, and it's never ended.
But
well,
he did fix himself at Leicester. Those two things are both correct.
Right.
It wasn't that he didn't need to leave United and would have been colossal if he'd have stayed.
Yeah.
He needed to go, and there wasn't many people. Macca aside, there weren't many crying when he went. It's like if Phil Jones goes now, no one's going to be like, missed opportunity there, are they? And he'll probably go and play 25, 30 games somewhere and look pretty good doing it.
Yeah.
But no one's going to cry. If he goes in January, no one's going to be like, let a real one go there.
But you know what? It makes me laugh because you make a great point. It's like with Moyes, and people go, Moyes, we shouldn't let him go. David Moyes didn't just leave United and go straight to West Ham and start getting into Champions League places. He left United 7 years ago. So he's took him 7 years to get to where he is now. And in the meantime, he went to Sociedad and flopped. He went to Sunderland and didn't do anything of note. Went to West Ham twice. It's his second time of asking there. And he's now started to come good for it. It's not like if we'd have just stuck with him for the rest of his contract, he would have been able to do it. He took over a title-winning team.
If we'd have given him 7 years, he would have done it.
He took over a title-winning team. And had us in eighth or whenever when he left. I'll get into some of the comments because they're building up. Armand Saxana says, why United doesn't release a press statement saying that United won't do deals with Mino Raiola anymore and ban him? Let's see who is bigger, United or Raiola. There are always other better players, but there is only one United.
Players on the books that are represented by him.
Yeah, that's not...
And you're also going to cut your nose off to spite your face because he's a player you really want. He just pulls that press release out. And I guess I'm not answering the phone today.
Yeah. Shirish Atavale says, do we really need a new CDM? What if McFred, Donny, Matic and Pogba just started performing consistently? How great would that be? I mean, yeah, what if? But it's a massive what if. Colin Wilmot, who's a member of the Academy as well, says, thanks for your support. Says, Martial leaving. This is sort of your reaction, this. Oh, well, what's for tea? That was kind of the reaction from you in the group chat. Have you got that?
Tell the truth.
What was it? I think you used the GIF, to be honest with you.
I used the GIF out of Wedding Crashers when they're blowing champagne.
Yeah.
I took it well.
And it's a shame because, you know, you mentioned the Everton semi-final, obviously his debut. There's been some great moments with Martial's goal against City in a 2-0. But we're looking back, aren't we? And we're going back. Some of those are 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can't be going, like, tell you what.
He didn't kick on.
Yeah.
He's shown a lot of promise.
What happened five years ago? Let's keep him.
And there might still be real talent there.
Yeah.
But guess what? It ain't there right now.
No.
And United need some right nows. Yeah.
We do. We've got enough sort of future stars, and we do need some right nows. Have you got that to put on the screen as well. I'll get into that. It's just a page. This is your favourite bit of the vid today.
Ball shaving.
Ball shaving. Ho ho ho, gentlemen. The holidays have come early this year. As Manscaped, trademarked, have the gift that keeps on trimming. See what I'm saying there? Santa's beard isn't so appealing when it's coming out your trousers. What do you say? Do you say trousers or kecks or what?
I don't know. Pants, trousers.
Pants, yeah, pants. Have you got me pants? You got me trousers? What do you say?
Yeah, trousers, pants.
Yeah?
Trousers, probably.
Trousers? Most,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Slacks.
Slacks.
Let's bring slacks in.
Yeah.
Slacks.
Some slacks.
That's some old man stuff.
And that's why, yes.
But Joe, they ironically wouldn't have been very slack. They'd have been probably like nicely pressed with a crease.
Yes, good crease.
Leather. Everything but slack about them.
Yep, leather painting shoes, you look the part. And that's why not Manscaped, trademarked, the leaders in below the waist grooming, have you covered this holiday season. Now available in your country. Join the 4 million men worldwide, which is basically all the men in the world.
Yeah. I'm going to take all the credit for this because I think it's our read that did it. We went, it was 2 million men, right?
Yeah.
About a month ago.
Yeah.
That's 4 million men.
We've doubled it, haven't we? We've doubled it.
Prove me wrong.
That's a fact, yeah?
Because
well,
they
the,
don't exactly sponsor any other podcasts.
No, they don't. They don't like doing that. They sponsor this one because we're the best, and that's true. Who trust Manscaped trademark to keep their trees trimmed and ornaments polished. Click the link in the description for 20% off plus free shipping because you get it all there. That package, you get the 4.0 lawnmower technology, you get the weed whacker, you get all that, you get the boxer briefs. So it's got question, everything. The cologne.
What
go
do I
and
get
check
you for
it
Christmas?
Out.
Like yeah. How many times have you heard this? What do I get the man that's got everything? Ball trimmers. That's
ball trimmers. Yeah. Seriously. And while you're at it, because I've had to start doing this, you can do your ears, not with the same one. You can do your nose. And you've got the crop preserver, you've got the ball deodorant, you've got the moisturizer, the toner, this hygiene bundle also come, as I've said, anti-chafing boxes. How many conversations did me and you have about chafing?
Four a day.
It is four. It is literally. We've got our own little WhatsApp group that we just talk about. It's only been a minute, so I don't know why we made
it's called
a group.
brightredballs.com.
Yeah, I don't know why we made a group. We could have just messaged each other about a group, but we watch
it
anyway.
Just keep it on topic, don't we?
Yeah, you do. That's it. We've got our 1991 group. We've got other groups as well. The Brian Robson Appreciation Society. Don't worry about that.
They're all busy.
Yeah. So 20% off and free shipping by clicking in the link or on the link
and
in the description.
For Christmas, get me ball trimmers from manscaped.com.
And this is a sentence that I never thought I'd say. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Tell you what.
That's how you want to get to the top of the nice list. Clean gooch.
Clean gooch. Yes.
Honestly, one of the hardest jobs in marketing has to be the new guy at Manscaped trying to come up with euphemisms for testicles.
I tell you what, though. We've had some ropey ones, haven't we, son?
Oh, we have.
When you put something on a screen and both me and him refuse to read it, you know you've put some pretty bad.
Ben Foster read it, though.
Ben Foster read it and didn't even remotely get cancelled.
Yeah.
If he'd have said it, or Macca, forget it. His career's over. And you can work that out. Ross Murphy says, Merry Christmas. Thank you. Another story. I know, Steve, I feel like this is the Steve doesn't care about these stories today, but I am going to mention them anyway because the Pogba thing, right? And I'm not going to talk about the story, but just it's a sort of a hook, but let's just break it down to, do you see him having a future under Ralph Rangnick?
It's literally a who the fuck knows.
Yeah.
And I was bored of this circus about a year ago.
Well, weren't you bored of it in 2012 like the rest of us? That's what I mean, you had this conversation when he was in the youth team. Like, come on. It's just been going on for 10 years.
There's probably a tweet of me saying this. If you put him and Cleverley in midfield, we win a lot.
You're not alone.
This is in
You're not alone. You're not alone. I remember me and you having a conversation about how it wasn't fair for Pogba and Fosu Mensah to start together because they'd win all the games. And we weren't even joking.
Someone tweet me this week.
Tim Bowman is right back.
We're getting excited about some of the youngsters that have just broke in on Wednesday night. I mean, people was like, yeah, but you said this about Fosu Mensah. Yeah, I did. Do you know why? Because it was fucking correct. Then he got a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
This happens. It's the same with Fosu Mensah. Fosu Mensah is one of the most, with Axel Tuanzebe even, one of the most naturally gifted defenders I have ever seen. His youth career would stack up against the whole world's youth career.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah. No, do you remember, was it Upton Park? Excuse me. Then he's burping. Then it's Upton Park, I think, in the cup. I'm sure he played in midfield when we won the FA Cup en route, was it the quarters, I think?
Yeah.
He was amazing. Just absolutely dominated
the best game was White Hart Lane.
Yeah. Nil-nil. Was that the one where we took him off and we conceded?
We put Damian on with 20 to go.
Yeah.
Lost 3-0.
There you go. Saji Made says, Steve, what do you think about Lisbon's Yao Paulina? One for you there. Do you reckon? I don't know. That's okay.
Is that the midfielder? I think, yeah, who's that, right?
I mean, I can Google it, but what's the point of me trying to pretend that I know about it?
I'm making sure.
Hang on a minute. Don't know.
Because I don't want to offer.
Where has he said it?
Yao Paulina.
But he just gives me that, like,
we got to play with a name, that first name. Joa, he says it is, but he is from, you know, the ends.
Played from Manchester.
Really? Yeah. I love all that. I love the fact you've got, like, Ronaldo and Rivaldo and all that. And
where are they from? Longside.
Longside. Hardly.
It's called, because the lads have been absolutely butchering his name in training.
Yeah.
Joa, Zhao.
Yeah.
But I was like, how the fuck do we say this? And he was like, Joa.
Joa. There you go.
It's the most Mancunian way of saying that I've ever seen.
Right. We have to read this out because, you know. Peter Kelly says, shout out to McCullough for his two worldies and tournament win in the kickoff five-a-side charity tournament the day after Zidane Iqbal's debut for United. The second part of that I wholeheartedly agree with. The first part, you know, what did he do? He's beat some twitchers. Wow. No, well done, Macca. We're never going to hear the end of that when he's back in here, though, so you don't have to give him a shout on it. It'll just make his head even bigger. Yeah, Pogba, what about you? You've been Mr. Paul Pogba's biggest fan, haven't you, Paul Labile, your boy?
Yeah, love-hate relationship with Paul Pogba, unfortunately. One week.
You love him and he hates United.
Yeah, basically, I'll put it. Yeah.
He hates playing for us.
He hates being here.
I don't think he hates being here.
I'm joking, by the way, before I get hammered in the comments.
I actually don't think he hates United.
I think the perception of like him, I don't understand why people have such a mad dislike with Paul Pogba. Like, any sort of thing I've had with Paul Pogba, it's frustrated me. It's always about the football, but everyone's always like the media, and there's this weird side of people with him. But for me, it's not a weird side.
That circus, he could easily shut it down. Do you see where he shut it down when someone, I think it was from the Rag the Sun, had said something like he's had a fallout with Ollie, and he just posted lies.
Whoa. Are you inferring that the Sun newspaper made up a story that's completely fabricated and then published it?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Multiple times,
right.
a day. So he comes out and's like, "That's a lot of bollocks. I didn't say that."
Yeah.
All right, cool. What about the 400 that say you want to leave?
He did it with France, didn't he, as well? When there was this, I can't remember what there was. There was quite a controversial story that came out about something to do with his religion and stuff, and he was like, "Hang on a minute, nonsense."
Yeah. So his silence on the other issues is deafening, and I think, you know, the way he allowed. And actually, Ollie doesn't get enough credit for this, but there was an absolute shit show of a circus last year. I think it was literally December last year when it came out with some of the, I don't even know what it kicked off with, but it was Raiola had basically said, yeah, we're fucking getting out of here, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, how's Ollie going to deal with this? Ollie seemed to like just smooth it right over, and it was never even mentioned again. So I don't know if there was some agreement on the table or whatever, but the fact now we're 2.5 weeks away from being able to enter the January window, where he's able to talk to people. It's a piss take that it's got to this. You can blame the club for not dealing with it quicker.
Yep.
You can blame him and Raiola for not sorting out either. But I'm not really pointing the fingers at anyone. It's all of them collectively have fucked this up.
Yeah.
The fact that United are going to allow one of our best assets to be able to just piss off again. Let's not have it right.
We
had him. We paid 90 million for him. And I will let him go again. It's absolutely madness. It's honestly fucking insane. Now, I would tie him up. I think he could be a great player for any manager, almost in any system.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're necessarily a better football team by letting some of the best players leave it.
Yeah.
But I could easily see Ralf Rangnick going, sign a thing by weekend. No, bye.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it needs that. Maybe it needs that because this has just been a saga, hasn't it?
What are we waiting for?
Yeah, it's like we've had, 5 years to sort this out, and now it's 2.5 weeks. And we're still like, oh, maybe he is, and maybe he will. It's not beyond the realm of possibility, but it is just nonsense. And if you're a manager, go on.
The only reason he will is lack of other options.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem as well that he's got if he does want to move along, because you usually have, for a World Cup winning midfielder who's 28 years old, who's more or less free, then you would have a whole host of suitors, and those suitors would be Juve, Barca, Real Madrid, Chelsea, PSG. Now you're looking at it and you're going, Premier League, I don't see a lot of Premier League
clubs. I think Real Madrid probably still.
Real Madrid, mate, yeah, that's a decent shout. Barca, forget it. They've got no money. They're not going to even count for his wages.
Yeah, but they're so badly run. It would not shock me that they're like, anyway, sign Pogba.
Apparently they're in for Martial.
Don't worry about that. We've got another.
They're in for Martial, apparently.
Yeah.
I saw someone else they was in for yesterday. Who was it that was in for yesterday?
I see that.
Januzaj.
Yanezai.
Oh my God.
So that Barcelona could have Martial, Memphis, and Yanezai. What is this Man United 2015?
Louis. They're going to bring Louis, Louis back.
Hey, they're going to have.
They could do a lot worse than getting Louis.
They could do. They could do. Last night, I still like Louis. I wouldn't have him as my manager because the football made me want to gouge my eyes out. Yeah, I like him back. He's a great character, isn't he? Colin Wilmot says, lads, if we could sign either Bellingham or De Jong, which one are you taking and why? Bellingham. I agree. Go on quickly. I've got another part to this question.
I think
Jude Bellingham
is unreal.
No, I like the young boom. Bellingham is elite. Yeah. Will the academy lads like Garner and Laird get chances? Personally, I think Laird will. I don't know about Garner.
Last year he played as a six, and he generally plays as a six.
He's playing further up now. Yeah,
he's been playing a little bit further up for Forest.
Which is like the problem we have now at Man United. Everyone just plays further up.
Everyone's a bit further up. Yeah. But in a 4-2-2, there's more room for that.
Yeah, 100%. What was that you were putting up then about Yanezai?
The Barcelona link.
Hey, do you reckon that'd happen? Do you think they're
They're that fucking cooked at the minute, mate. Like, honestly, nothing would surprise me with them at the moment. Literally, there's not one thing that would surprise me. They're a billion in debt, and they are fully playing by the, if you're going to walk on ice, might as well dance kind of fucking game, aren't they?
Yeah, how old is he now, Yanezai?
Probably about 25.
25, eh?
He must be. He's a similar age to McTominay, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. What is he?
How old? 26. 27 in 8 weeks, 6 weeks.
He's come a long way since he was going on dates with Angelina Kelly.
What the fuck?
Abhinav Verma says, Raiola shat the bed before a crucial Champions League fixture. Do you remember that one against Leipzig where he came out with it? And he's started stirring the pot
this
again.
This is it, mate. The fucking circus. You don't need it. You know, like well-run football clubs. How many Bayern Munich bollocks rumours like this do you see?
No,
you
just don't. You don't.
Because they're a well-run football club.
It is a bit embarrassing. And maybe this is one thing as well, because Rangnick's not just the...
Cam, leave it. I'm sure you're all seeing this. Cam's losing his shit behind here. It's annoying. We all know. We'll figure it out after.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
it. Thanks, though. It's not just Rangnick. It's not just the coach or the manager or whatever to the end of the season. If he's going to have a consultancy role, if he's going to oversee things, if he's going to make these changes, he's going to want this club to be well-run. He's going to want to see those changes starting now. Start now saying, hang on a minute, this is just farcical. We're not doing this anymore. I'm not having it.
And if the start of it is Tony Marshall, pack your shits in a bit.
Yeah.
Paul Pogba, are you signing? Because we'd love to have you. No? Okay, bye-bye.
Right, okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll put out a statement. We'll take the initiative and say, you know, here's a tribute video. Thanks. And it's like, all right, okay. Maybe, I don't know,
what's on the tribute video?
All right, then.
Derby winner.
The derby winner, yeah, with the blue hair.
Unveiling video.
The Europa League final goal.
All else.
The Europa League final goal.
Nah. The 3 months in 18-19.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
that's right.
Everton away. And the semi-final against Spurs.
He was so good at Everton away, actually. That performance was worth 90 million. So.
Silent Knot says strobe lighting, yay, it's the Paddock Christmas disco. The tree, yeah, we've got producer Cam's pointing at the tree. We are going to have the Christmas podcast soon, don't worry. We didn't have it last year, but we will bring it back. We had a few years ago.
You make Jesus dress up as Jesus.
Well, we could do, couldn't we? Yeah, why not? We could recreate that meme that you, the picture you took that, you always, that went viral, the one you're proud of.
Everyone's saying dabbing. God, that's how long he's been here. That feels like it was 10 years ago on Vine.
I still sneeze like that. Remember the instructions? You're going to sneeze when COVID broke. Sneeze like that. Yeah, okay. That was for the kids, but I followed it. I'll get into some of the quotes. I'm that simple. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll get into some of the quotes from Ralph Rangnick. He says Aaron Wan-Bissaka received one or two knocks in the game against Young Boys.
Did that.
I didn't realise he got stretched off. Which is quite disconcerting because I stayed to the end to clap off all the youngsters.
Yeah, he was ages down.
It's because he was in the corner. Like, yeah,
I thought, have I missed that? I thought like the groundsman were leaving when I left.
Fixed that. So if you've not been to Old Trafford, there's a serious camber to the pitch. It's like a proper runoff, and it's for the rain because I don't know if you know much about Manchester, kind of rains a bit. But where it runs off to is about, is it 2 bricks wide?
Yeah.
It's just like the entire pitch is kind of on brick.
I swear every time I sit below, like, I look at that and I'm like, how is that happening?
Well, how's it legal? How's health and safety gone? You know people run off into this all the fucking time.
Sorry, this is a bit of an aside.
I'm surprised no one's got
you know
like,
how we roll on
this
vid today. Oh, there's a picture of, I don't know, is that on the screen? Yeah. picture of Aaron Wan-Bissaka there.
You actually can't see the bricks there because he's on a bit where the AstroTurf comes.
You remember, who was it? Ashley Young sent him. Was it Di Maria flying?
Yeah.
And everyone was laughing, but you think that's very funny. But it's also like that could happen to one of ours. Well, it's not like there's a rule that if you're a United player, that doesn't happen to you.
It's a serious amount of distance you can fall from being running at full tilt to then fucking eating seats on the side. He went into a steward's thing.
Do you know what I forgot as well about on Wednesday night? What was that synchronized pitch invasion with those three lads?
Well, I was watching on telly at home. So
Did you see it?
So sick.
Like, there was like three of them at the same time from various points in the ground, all ran on the pitch. And like,
they're protesting against modern football, Jay.
Well, they started doing all the sues and all that, didn't they?
Oh, no, just dickheads.
Yeah. But like, but what usually you get that, it's people who want to just take a photo with Ronaldo, but obviously he wasn't playing. So they just sort of ran around for a bit.
Two of them, for ages.
Then one of them just gave up, didn't he? And just like, and then the other
two. The funniest one is the guy that just came.
Yeah, he just came up.
It's well worth the ban, that, isn't
it? One guy got a rugby tackle.
Yeah. I thought, why? Like, you've just got a lifetime ban from Old Trafford for that. To just so you can get near, I don't know, Anthony Langa and Ahmed Diallo. And it's just like, what is all that about? Why do that? But yeah,
it's actually a criminal offence when at the playing field. Criminal offence. Yeah. Sitting in there with pedos and fucking rapists and all that. What do you do? Run out of a pitch.
See the one with Ronaldo? Where he got like right near him. And then did he touch him?
Yeah, he tried.
And then he just got
the Chelsea women's one, where a guy runs on and takes a selfie. That's fucking fair play.
Yeah, I mean.
I think she's been fined for that.
Apparently you get £100 bonus if you're a steward and you take one of them pictures.
I was about to say, they look pretty dedicated. Because listen,
one guy absolutely rugby tackled.
Yeah.
Do you know the problem that you got though, right? And you see this with the streakers and that usually, but you also see it with the stewards. There's a reason that people wear studs on a football pitch.
Yeah.
Because you go fucking west.
There's nothing worse.
You almost need like a dedicated steward wearing like a onesie or something like a luminous orange onesie with boots on.
Because there's not one of the stewards went, did you see it? When one of the stewards went to grab, missed and flew and everyone started cheering. Yeah. And they think, oh, you must be soul destroying.
They soak the pitch. It's Old Trafford's not muddy. Most Premier League pitches, they don't get muddy. I don't know if you've ever really noticed that. They fill them in with a little bit of the crumb that you get at like 3G pitches. They're also sown with the synthetic surface. So there's not really a lot of mud under the pitches. Yeah. There's a lot of sand. There's a lot of like shavings and there's a lot of that little crumb, the little black balls that you get at like your 3G pitches and stuff. Cam's losing his shit with this.
I like the fact he is. Fair play to him. You can tell, but you're the worst one if something goes wrong.
But there's no mud. You ever noticed? Like the players don't really get muddy. They just kind of get wet. But the pitch is constantly watered. Obviously, before the match, half time, they are levering it with water. And this is Manchester. This is not the Mojave Desert. You know, they're absolutely pissing it. So when you get on there, that's why the ball fucking fizzes around the way it does. That's also why stewards just go fucking wet.
It's so funny.
You need boots on, lads.
I know. Seriously. Joel's been a member of the Academy for 5 months. Do you guys rate Vinny Jr. and would you take him over Greenwood?
Vinicius Jr.?
Yep.
No.
I wouldn't write starters. I'll be honest with you.
A lot.
And you can get in the comments and think I'm lying.
He's having a good season this year.
I wouldn't swap any player for Mason
Greenwood.
He's
21, you know. No, I'm not saying about swapping.
They paid 60 million from him at 16.
That's mad.
It's Real Madrid things.
Yeah.
He's a really good player, I think, now. Like, the form he's on. Because he's got that ruthless side to him, so he's just bagging goals, but I don't know, man. I'd never touch Greenwood. Like, I wouldn't swap anyone with Greenwood.
There's a conversation going on with Ginny Nelson and Santa Notch about reindeer. Yeah? About who's going to play the reindeer. Apparently, Callum Mitts, Cam and Patterson, 4 reindeer for United. I think I've missed the big conversation.
So one
here.
Of the comments there, Steve, I work as a steward and there's genuinely at least one pitchside steward wearing football boots. Do you know how gutted that guy must be when he's in this corner and the invading that pot?
Do you reckon he goes for it? Do you reckon he goes for it? Do you reckon he goes across? I'm going to get this.
Literally,
I'm going to go there.
If he's there, what else can he do? Yeah. You can't walk in a fucking concourse in boots. You're on your ass.
No, he's going for it, innit? I've got this, lads. Come on. And he's like, gets there too late. Someone's already piled on. He's
absolutely
like,
wounded.
Oh, he's got to trudge back to his corner.
On the phone with his missus on the way home. We had a pitch invasion. She's like, oh, did you love? Yeah. Didn't fucking care. Don't do that.
Yeah. He's begging not to be put in front of the family stand. get involved in the comments. Get involved in the chat. We got a little bit distracted, which is unlike us on this video.
Jay, there was far too much fucking structure. If I'm going to be honest with you, give a little bit of criticism and a bit of feedback.
No, I agree.
Far too much structure today.
I agree.
You had topics prepared?
I know.
Why?
I don't know. Well, me and Abdul is here.
I know.
And I just thought, I know.
Where he can take it off topic as well.
I know, he's just as bad. Where are you from?
We ain't talking about anything.
Me? Yeah.
How long we got left?
Where are you
15
from?
Minutes
I'm
left.
I'm not going to disclose that.
Go on, you can tell. You're not a secret. What? I live in Eccles. He's from Droylsden. Where are you from?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say where I'm from.
Which part of Manchester?
All right, I'm currently in North Manchester, but
North Manchester.
I hate it. I hate it. It's grim. But
right.
Withington.
I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about that. Withington.
Originally, yes.
Withington, South 14
Manchester. 14 years there.
So you've proper shifted then, haven't you? You've gone from south to north.
Yeah.
Go on, what you want to talk about anyway now we've covered that?
I was going to say.
From Withington, but moved to Blakely.
Suggest some topics. However, none of them can relate to anything going on at Manchester United Football Club like right now.
Who's your favourite non-United player of all time?
R9.
That's a good answer, isn't it? Very good answer.
Hey. Joe, he would have signed for us.
Don't start with this. Don't.
At Cruzeiro, but he couldn't get a work permit.
What's that about?
Wait,
how?
Is that how long we wanted him? Like when he's in Brazil?
So that was 93, 94, I think. Can you imagine?
Did he go PSV from there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played. Oh, can you imagine how good he would have been?
Just imagine watching him then. When you think, you know, when he had that young thing of just, I'm going to try this and it all worked.
There was like the season he did at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Where it's quite normal now because the game has changed and because the leagues have done this and people are in complete fucking denial about it, but you're wrong. The leagues have done this. So the top teams now, on average, take more points per game from the bottom teams. They score more goals because all of the leagues, because of the TV money, have done this. They've all become shit replicas of Scotland, right? Of French league. But back in the day, the Premier League, you could win 6 games and become the champions because it was a lot tighter. It was a bit like a championship where everyone's kind of similar, but a couple stand out from the pack. Not like they're just shit shows that they are now. So when a player comes on the scene, he scores 34 goals in 33 games. That's mind-blowing. It's kind of normalised that a player score a goals a game now at the top flight. But it's fucking weird.
Mm.
And that's why you can't retrospectively sort of compare stats from 1993 to today. Yeah. Because the game has literally changed. But what Ronaldo was doing, original Ronaldo, and I won't call him Fat Ronaldo out of respect because he was a game changer. I remember the first time I ever went on the internet was to go and Google him. The old 442 magazine, they used to have like an on the web, like a page.
You went on the internet and looked at that before porn?
I was with my mum.
All right, okay, I was about to say.
Because I had to go to an internet cafe.
Well, right, so?
In St. Anne's Square, that's what we went.
Hey, see what I mean?
Jay.
Look away.
Did they not have printers?
So I went and had a look at probably like 110p. Just
back in the day. You don't remember it? Like whippersnappers.
I think someone scored like a 6-second clip that probably took half an hour to load.
Yeah.
But it was R9. But if you look at Barcelona R9 and then Inter Milan R9.
Yeah, which is your favourite R9? Because they are all different, aren't they? Inter and Barca and Real Madrid. And if you're going to be clever about it, you can go back to PSV. But let's be honest, those are the three main ones.
I think the Inter one.
Yeah, really?
Because he was playing. Italian football was peak in the 90s.
Yeah, it was.
I think that anyone could agree with that. Mm-hmm. You had an amazing Parma team. You had a Fiorentina side that
Lazio
were doing bits.
Yeah, sick
Lazio team. You had AC Milan just on the back end of their dominance. You had Juve coming up with like
Veron was part of Lazio team.
All that lot. So when he goes to Inter, 96, 97, 97, 98, fuck me. The shit he was doing, someone still doesn't do. He had the control of Messi, the kind of physicality of Alan Shearer and like the pace of Ronaldo.
And like the most elite.
Just he had all that. Like, insane. You don't see a 6'1", 14 stone player just fucking doing the shit with the
it
ball.
Was like, it was like the evolution of strikers, wasn't it? It was like there's a different type of striker now. This is someone who's taking it to a different level who isn't
What sort of size is Mbappe, would you say?
He's small.
Like 5'9", 5'10".
5'10".
I thought he was taller.
So think of a really
he's probably 6'4". Because what's Marcus? 6'2".
Marcus
is a lot bigger than
him. What I mean. There's a few inches
difference. I think Mbappe's gone a lot taller like since he's broken through, I reckon.
5'10", apparently.
Really?
Right, so imagine like a 6'1" Mbappe. That's probably about as fast.
Yeah.
But imagine him like 14 stone and jacked.
Yeah.
And now imagine he's doing the sort of shit Messi does with the football. But he is ruthlessly direct. Like Messi loves a little layoff pass, doesn't he? To give it and get it back. Your fucking R9's not passing to fucking nobody. He's like, what? Where are we? Halfway line. I'll see you at the other end.
I swear, growing up, I always like love searching R9 Inter. Like the videos from Inter were just ridiculous.
He's just having his shirt ragged off him, and he's like, "Fuck out of here!"
Such a good team, that Brazil team. That like 2002 when he won the World Cup.
If you'd have had him in '95, Joe Alan Shearer scored like 25, 26 goals. People lost their fucking mind.
Yeah. Imagine like what you're watching as well.
So
like
you'd have had a United team with Beckham on one wing, Giggs on the other wing, Kinnear and Cantona up front.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy Cole. You're going to have to sit
I know, imagine that.
I mean, I love Andy Cole. Big Andy Cole advocate, but you're taking a fucking seat for R9. Jesus Christ. We would have won every game. Ever. We'd still be winning games on the back of that now. Fucking hell.
Yes, 100%.
Mine was probably Zidane, you know.
Go on, you've said R9. So you're saying...
He was like my first proper favourite player because I remember in the World Cup he got sent off. I was emotional.
Watched him.
I was so emotional.
Juve, because he was shit.
Right, he wasn't right. This is a thing that you do about Zidane. He says at club level, right, Zidane weren't all that. He came third in the Ballon d'Or before he won the World Cup.
Right? Who's just won the Ballon d'Or?
Messi.
Right, what has he won it for? He did fuck all with Barcelona last year.
It's not like the Ballon d'Or didn't do anything.
Who did well at internationals? Cannavaro won it in 2006. Yeah, why? Because he captained Italy to win the fucking league. They get it for international success. No one gives a fuck about what you do at club level.
But he did well at club level before he won the World Cup. He didn't just, in 98, he was Zidane.
Not going to lie, Zidane retired right after that, innit? And he looked insane at the World Cup.
Yeah, I'm not just saying he wasn't amazing in international level. He was.
Great, legendary international player.
You're just going off the fact that Roy Keane made him look average. That's what you're... Roy Keane put him in one pocket, David's in the other, there's Shomps in the other, and just dominated the pitch.
Roy Keane and Nicky Butt. The equivalent of Scott McTominay, apparently.
I think my first football shirt was Zidane with the Black Madrid kit.
Loads of people commenting. I don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about,
sure. Someone said, and it really put a good point here, what's your favourite Phoenix Knight episode?
It's got to be the one where they got Callie.
Is that the one where they're naked and they're driving back? I love that. Yeah, that's a good one. I like the one where they go to shoot a guy in the woods.
A couple of Vickers.
Broomhound old Mauser. Ross Murphy says Kaká was a baller. He was good, Kaká, right? But the season where he was mint, I always think back to our defence that season.
I mean, Ballon d'Or get signed by Real Madrid and did fucking...
Because, like, he tore us apart, didn't he? But we had, like, half our team out, half our defence out.
I don't know about that. We were still a good United side.
Yeah, but come on.
They absolutely spudded us, though, didn't they?
Yeah, we had Gabriel Heinz.
Gabriel Heinz
was fucking player of the year at the time.
Yeah. Weren't we missing,
that was like 3 years after that, wasn't it?
We were missing Rio and Vidic, weren't we?
I think Vidic played.
One of them definitely. Because one of them got absolutely destroyed.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. Evra, like, clattered into one of them, didn't he?
I refuse to believe that. I'm going to have a look now anyway. Get involved in the comments. Let us know who your favourite...
Evra had a touch of Eric Bailly about him, didn't he, at times? Where he just does some shit where you go, yeah, it's Evra.
No, our defence was O'Shea, Brown, Hines and Evra. Oh, so we were missing both Rio and Vidic. We kind of affects your team, to be honest, doesn't
it? John O'Shea, though.
Listen, John O'Shea's got the best highlights reel of any footballer ever. Seriously, I'm not even exaggerating.
When he fucking makes Figo, Fergie would have been like, stop fucking about it.
You do that again, you'll be doing it in the stands.
My absolute favourite O'Shea moment is him chipping, who was it, for Arsenal?
Was it Lehman.
Lehman.
Oh, and then just
it's
like,
his face, like...
Nice God.
Yeah, he's like, it's gone in. That's what I mean. John O'Shea.
Classic, you know.
That was...
In front of the cop and all that.
If you want to say what is a quintessential Premier League game. Yeah, so I think I told you the story of that. So I watched that on TV. I wasn't there.
Go on.
I was on guard duty in the army. So you do guard duty in 2 hour blocks.
There's no excuse for not going today.
Sorry.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a 24 hour duty. So you do two on, two off. So you do two where you'd be like on the main gate or patrolling and then you do two off. And I managed to, because United were playing, managed to score my 2 hours off, 8 till 10 so I could watch the game.
See, I'll let you off.
Right. But I missed the whole tunnel incident. Because that was that game. So I didn't have a fucking clue. And the commentary never really referenced what had happened at all. But the game, the tempo of that game.
It's ridiculous.
Quintessential Barclays, that for me.
Quintessential.
What a fucking game that was.
That was
just
probably
end
best
to end,
ever Premier League game.
Fucking
right.
Knife fight.
I hate Arsenal with a passion, yeah. But the Arsenal and United rivalry was unparalleled. Because from 96 to 2004, only United and Arsenal won the league. And it was pretty much neck and neck during that time. And you had amazing games, you had seminal games, you had great teams, great players. It was a proper rivalry. I don't think you're ever going to see that again. People are trying to say, oh, well, you've got it now with the Scouts. Say, well, you haven't really. I mean, United finished second last season. Do you know what I mean? Let's have it right. So that rivalry's starting again. from scratch. So see, I just think that's something
people
different.
Go, well, only City and Liverpool have won it the last 5 years. Yeah, because Liverpool what it wants.
Yeah, that's yeah. like...
So let's throw Leicester in the mix as yeah, well. Fuck it.
It's not this, you know what I mean? There's not been those games. There's not been those runs. United won the treble. They drew 12 games in a season.
You're steering dangerously into talking about modern footballer.
I don't want to do that, Stephen. Peter Kelly says, who's on it when we win the Champions League, Brazil win the World Cup, and Fred then inevitably wins the Ballon d'Or off the back of it?
Jay's
thanks,
back on
Peter.
The sniff, because what's going to get weirder?
Imagine that. Imagine if Fred actually did win the Ballon d'Or. I mean, there's a lot of imagining there, but imagine it does happen. Abhinav Verma says, Vidic played the return leg half injured.
You don't
injured.
Have to have six fucking good games, like all these were fucking games that are doing it.
I know, that's true. Got fully destroyed by Gattuso and Seedorf in the second leg. Italians with all their smart fouls and shit. That second leg was
Gattuso and Seedorf, mate.
Horrible.
If you're starting to make a midfield two and you've got them at your disposal... With Kaká in front of him. Wasn't yeah. a bad team, that.
No. Abhinav Kanagat.
Stam still playing for him then as well?
Nah, not when we...
In 2005 he bounced.
Yeah. He bounced after...
Don't get me started on Yap Stam leaving United. I've still not got over it. Abhinav Kanagat says, with Mason on the rise, is Haaland really needed?
Different player. Totally different player.
One's do you want, him? Do you want Haaland? Not would you take him, or if he come, I'd be all out of it. Do you want him?
I wouldn't go out of my way to get him.
Right, fair enough.
One's a battering ram though. One's right. a lock picker.
I sort of nice. Feel like... Ragnick's comments allude to the fact that maybe he's trying to build him as a proper nine in a way that he knows that part of his game. He said that his passing's good, but he said he needs to be more athletic, he needs to be stronger and stuff. And I feel the way Ragnick plays, if you look at that Yusuf Poulsen, Timo Werner front two, like you're always going to have that quicker striker. And I think Mason doesn't really have that. So maybe building up a little bit and having the ruthless nine that you want in front of goal. So yeah, it's. I don't know if Haaland like comes in and he plays them too.
It is a little bit yeah. modern, so let's.
It's almost even talking about the future.
Someone asked it before, and you were given some homework the other week. I don't know if you did it, and if you did do it, forgive me, but you can do it again. Ralph to the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final.
I'm still working on it. I'm gonna get there because it's gonna be well worth when I pull it out.
What was that thing you were working on once? That took like went back to like 120 years or something.
Oh, I was looking for.
This is what he does, right, with himself. Go on.
Do you know how I keep my madness in check? Is by delving into the madness. Yeah. It's like, I don't run away from it.
Yeah.
I face it and no, I run at it.
I like that about you.
Right. And it's what I do.
Yeah.
So what I was looking for were the lineal champions of England. Not who won that title and took it off them.
Yeah.
No. Who won the first game that I can find on record and then follow that to find out who the lineal champions of England are. From 1888.
So 1888, yeah. So think of how many games are out. I'm not even going to pretend to start to do the math.
I got about 15 years in.
Right, yeah. The fact you got 15 years in is amazing. Do you know what I mean? But then you get 15 years in and you're still only just in the 20th century and you think, oh my God, I've got so much more to do. Yeah, that would have been unreal.
I'm still in the 90s.
And what would have happened is you'd have done that, told us and we'd have gone, all right, nice one.
Because I was doing it from the first FA Cup years, so I think it was in the 1860s it started, maybe.
Right. Oh, my God.
how did people record things back then?
With a fucking bit of paper.
They did was just piss in the street and dial.
What? How do you think we had things like
happens back then?
Shakespeare and all that?
Little bit more.
Throw it down.
That's all I got it from.
Hey, come on. Come on, son. Right, where can people find you?
Pure Ball on YouTube. But, sorry about that. House.
Yeah, I know you don't want to give your address away,
my address,
but Jay. You're in North Manchester, so Harper Way. Yeah,
horrible.
Where can people find you online? Pure Ball.
Online, Pure Ball. Lack of uploads, unfortunately.
Well, despite that, go and check it out. You can see the 12 Days of Paddock. Go and check out the members section. We've got extra content, and you can win PlayStation 5. Mr. Howson, what have you got for us, you little punk? You've got some juicy going on, haven't you?
Glenn Arnold's coming on tomorrow.
Oh, Glenn Arnold, new mate. Yeah, no, that's actually decent. What are you doing with him?
Chatting to him and that.
Yeah, what about?
That's sick.
Football and that. Bit of a low-key GM when it comes, a little bit revolutionary.
Can I give you a task?
Is it asking him about his thoughts on disabled people?
No, that's not. Although you can do that if you want, but do it at the end of the interview before it ends. Yeah, he's got some very interesting views on disabled people. I want you to get him to admit that Brian Robson's greatest midfielder ever played alongside.
Done.
Good lad. I want to hear that and see it on video.
I'll start with Glenn. I want 5 reasons why Brian Robson was the best midfielder you ever played with.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that could have played in any generation, in any team.
Straight in with that. No pleasantries.
So yeah,
start
you,
with that.
You went over to Monaco, which was revolutionary at the time.
Yeah.
But Brian Robson was better, right?
When you played alongside Brian Robson of England, were you not a bit gutted when you had to go and play alongside others for your club who were nowhere near as good as him?
I couldn't even name a Spurs midfielder from the mid-80s.
He's a striker. I'm trying to think. Mid-80s.
Because that's when he was there, when it was like 75.
Yeah,
eight,
he's
seven.
Like, yeah, it's like, because I'm thinking like Gary Mabber, but he's a defender. And I'm thinking
Gaza,
he's like late 80s. 90s. Yeah. Vinny Samways, is that too? No, he's 90s. 90s. He's 90s.
He might have been 80s. Late
Paul
80s.
Stewart's 90s as well. So yeah, 80s. It's a vague.
What a fucking grey, beige, boring fucking side that Spurs team was outside of Glenn Hoddle. Because if you said to me, can you name a midfielder?
Chris Waddle, someone's saying in there. I was thinking Chris Waddle as well. Good shout.
Was he a Spurs guy?
Chris Waddle? Yeah. I think he was at Spurs before he went to Monaco and then he came back to Marseille, sorry, and then he went to Sheffield.
Did he also play for like Newcastle?
Yes. I think it was Newcastle, Spurs, Marseille, Sheffield Wednesday, Bradford. I think
Glenn Hoddle was maybe not on his comments on disabled people, but some of the other stuff he had, the 70s.
But I don't know about Ricky Villa as well, just about the 80s.
But yeah, I think some of the stuff he was trying to do with both tactics and stuff like that, I think real revolutionary kind of guy. And he keeps getting name checked on the Vibe with Five podcast all the fucking time. Real's got a lot of love for him because he brought him into the England squad early. So
he's a bit like him. You ever see Ian Wright when he's on Slumming with Glenn Hoddle? He reveres him. Still calls him Gaffer.
There's still like a bit of that going on. There's more than that, but there's still, it seems like we've had, I can't remember the other person we've had on, but there's about three or four, might have been me. Eski's about that era, isn't it? So it could have been Eski.
Yeah.
There's a few people that we've had on, and we've ended up talking about Glenn Hoddle, and I just keep saying, we need to fucking get him on, we need to get him on. Yeah. So we've got him on.
We just get him on. Right, we've got him on. Yeah, because apparently, I think...
So we're all in here. Me, Rio, Joel, we're all in here tomorrow.
Good. We're going to have the watch along afterwards. You on that?
We might have a treat for you on that.
We might have a treat.
Like Smee or Murdernand.
Okay, so he's not giving too much away there. He's playing his cards pretty close to his chest. But you'll be on it anyway, won't you? Joe Smith will be here. Angelina's here as well.
Yeah, so and the second greatest Premier League era defender is going to be on it as well.
Yep, Steve Bruce. It's official. So make sure you're checking out Vibe with Five. You know where to find Steehouse. You know where to find me. Make sure you're checking out Pure Ball and Abdullah. This has been The Brew with Stephen Alson and Jay Meyer and Abdullah. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.